Saga Egmont presents The Return of Frankie Whittle by Caroline England, read by Colleen Prendergast. To my lovely friend, Deborah Grace, and her much-missed husband, Jonathan. Prologue. I peer into the black night. The stillness and silence feel oppressive, and despite the balmy air, I have a horrible sensation that someone is behind me, their bony fingers reaching to drape an icy blanket across my spine. Suddenly terrified it's a stony-faced matron or an inmate risen from the dead, I force my feet to inch around. Only emptiness ricochets off the old buildings and bricks, the walkways, and the perfect maze of trimmed green, thank God. Yet my stomach clenches at the thought. Emptiness, isolation, seclusion. I shake off the ridiculous alarm and reinstate my resolve. But, as I put one foot in front of the other, the notion of someone or something watching and wheezing from the ancient enclosures again prickles my skin. I creep past the sleeping gatehouse, along the silvery path to the chapel, then I climb up the steps and peer through the panelled window. Though my hot, nervy breath clouds the glass, there's no one in the lobby area, from what I can glean, so I shift across to the entrance and cautiously press down the handle. The door that's never locked reassuringly opens, so I enter and listen for movement. Satisfied that nobody is on the ground level, I tiptoe across the plush carpet, past the aged font, to the open staircase at the rear. As noiselessly as I'm able, I steal up in the darkness to a first-floor landing. Voices echo from the walls, so I stop, stock still, and strain to hear over the loud thud of apprehension in my ears. The conversation's too muffled to make out, but it's coming from the right, so I turn the other way and squint through the gloom. Part of me wants to bolt out and escape whilst I can, but there's a doorway, and it's ajar. My pulse revving from intrigue and fear, I sneak across the floorboards, edge into the vaulted room and glance around. Though moonlight shines through the arched casement, it takes moments to adapt to what I'm seeing. The centre contains an adult-sized cot, for want of a better description. I stare bemused. Is it a disabled person's bedroom? That would explain why I've never seen hide nor hair of them. No. It's too whitewashed and clinical for that. And besides, the bed is adjustable and surrounded by monitors and machines. I take in a wheeled unit with a perspex rectangle on the top and a wall-mounted fridge beyond it. Almost mesmerised, I move to the glass door and squint at the rows of drug vials inside. The labels are handwritten and, as I strain to read them, foreboding trickles through me. What the hell? They're neatly marked with percentages of morphine and scopolamine and someone's initials. Rotating again, my gaze lands on a tray of methodically placed surgical items, suture packets, kidney bowls, scissors, and a row of metal tools. I pick one up and frown. They appear to be very large spoons or tongs, but why would they be freeze-wrapped? Realisation finally cracking, I drop them. Good God, they're birthing forceps, and this is a delivery suite. My eyes slide to what I've already seen, yet not fully absorbed. Noise-cancelling earphones, a padded head restraint and blindfold, harnesses and straps for wrists, ankles and knees. I swallow hard. Though it looks more like a ward in a lunatic asylum, this room is a secret venue for childbirth. I gape at the leather shackles again. Why the hell would any woman agree to these? Part 1. The Intruder. Frankie and Nina. Chapter 1. Frankie. Although it's only my small cabin case, Toby solicitously wheels it down the gangway to platform 1 for me. He stops at the barrier, takes me in his arms and kisses me like he did on our first date.